Nothing.
Okay, just a dog just stand right in your way and look dumb.
Well, what happened is the dog just sat on the power cords and turned off the soundboard and essentially made us do do-overs, so we're on take two on this thing, and the first 9.5 minutes aren't going to sound very fresh.
I don't know how I'm supposed to be creative in this environment.
I don't know either. It's impossible. I have the fancy...
Here, drink.
Yeah, drink. That'll help.
Okay.
You want some rum for that drink? Was that actually beer with ice in it?
I'm pretending I'm in the Philippines.
That's beer with ice in it?
Yeah.
Dude, so there's the door. Like, what the fuck?
Well, don't be all frat boy.
Oh my god. Beer with ice in it. That's not okay.
Why not?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Because then you end up with water beer at the bottom. Everything is wrong with that. It's a horrible idea.
Would you end up?
Would you rather have water in the bottom?
Put a splash of Jaeger in it. We'll call it a mixed drink or something. But like, seriously,
you end up with watered anything when you put ice in it. That's true. The nature of ice.
I agree.
So why is
that's why I don't put ice in my whiskey either.
That's just restricted to beer.
So you know, I just said I don't put ice in my whiskey.
All right, okay. Or so, my wine. Right, so Mr. Frozen Margarita with no ice in it. Fine. Okay.
No, I'll take my frozen margaritas on... Well, they aren't frozen, first of all. They're margaritas on the rocks, heavy salt, and I drink them long before the ice is gone, trust me.
Yeah, well...
Right. See, that's part of the problem, is that to you, ice is it's an appetizer.
There's that. Okay. There's the iron deficiency ice chewing thing that I have. You're right. Like, I go to a place... It's in vogue right now to not give you ice in your water at the restaurants. It kind of makes me upset. I went out to dinner with my mother the other night.
Crazy. It drives me nuts.
And I look at her and go, can I get just a glass of ice? And the waitress looks at me like, okay.
I always give you that look.
My mother goes, make that two. I'm like, fuck yeah, Mom. Let's go. Get ice in this shit again.
They always give you that look, like ice, as if you said, like, is it okay if I smoke a cigar?
Don't you have a giant ice maker? Every restaurant I worked in had one.
Yeah.
Go get me some of that.
And then they come back with this tinkly, and it's like, come on, give a shape on
one of these fucking pints of ice in this thing. Pint of ice that you scared with water, please.
They look at you like, hey, can I shoot up some heroin and then do a line of fucking meth off your baby's ass?
Can I fuck you in the mouth in your bathroom? I think we had just gone over the edge on that one. But
that was you, actually. But no, it's like, I don't know. You know, get some goddamn ice going. You know, let's try and look professional. Jesus.
It's pretty in a glass. I like to chew on it. It's not respected conversationally, but bugger that noise, you know? So
you know what I want is I want that ice... Back in the... I want that 1970s ice.
The little round ball ice?
No. Well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty fucking good.
The cube with the hole in it.
Oh, that's pretty good,
that's
too.
That's what I want. I want the cube with the hole in it.
Because you can crunch it and tongue it.
And I think if you're really rich, you can get refrigerators with that. I want a refrigerator that dispenses that out the door.
And actually, an in-home ice maker, like those kind of things, have gotten less and less expensive. Especially if you like the shaved style ice, which I also became a huge fan of.
Yes.
Especially while working at the fish market, but you had to wait partway through the day because we salted the ice because it stayed colder longer. And so you had to wait like for the salt to wear out of the ice machine, but it was like a roof-mounted ice machine.
See, right now, I got a refrigerator that makes the semicircle ice.
Yeah.
And that's the worst ice there is because it forms a dam that keeps the booze from getting to your face.
Yes, it does. And
then it all rushes
at once. With ice cubes.
And then it all rushes at once.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. Like, so you put the glass down, you swirl it around, you shake it, and that goddamn piece of ice is back right there all over again in the exact right spot.
And not to
shine
stone up, but hand-chipped ice is pretty good, too.
Why don't you read the stuff?
This is the first time that he's ever called for the stuff. What does that tell you about what you just said?
Well, you don't like Basic Instinct. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Ruined Heroes. We are a weekly self-produced podcast.
Yes, we are.
Very self-produced. In which we discuss a topic of societal renown. I, Tyler, study like a koala on eucalyptus. John.
Oh, God, deja vu. I go around the internet.
Yeah. And Rupert.
Wishes he had bought the boss again.
John and Tyler are very glad that Rupert did not buy the boss. And a quick PSA, please do not invest in boss energy alcoholic drink. It may kill you. So, to go forward, you can find us as Ruined Heroes wherever you get your podcasts, as well as at ruinedheroes.com for direct downloads. Please subscribe, rate, and review, especially on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as I don't want to call it right now for whatever reason. they do kind of run the world. It does help people find us.
Leave us another bad review.
That'd no, awesome. I don't know about the bad. I'd like some more good ones.
Fuck, okay?
The bad ones are kind of funny. I like the bad reviews the best. I do kind of have to agree. They're kind of funny.
We made such an impact in somebody's life that they took that much time out of their way to say something and bad about us.
In less than 15 minutes. Because it's very clear they listened to the very first 15 minutes of something, shut it the fuck off, took four clicks, and then typed.
Yes.
Like...
And then they proofread it.
I don't get it.
And then they posted it.
So if you like us, it would do that. It would help at least keep us in middle ground, like 2.5 out of 5 stars, which would be perfect. Half bad reviews, half great ones. It'd be great.
Or you give me and Tyler something to drink about.
Wait, that means we're polarizing figures.
We are.
Ooh, we're Hillary Clinton.
We're not Hillary Clinton, but we are polarizing figures.
Boy, I bet you she looks like hell in the heat.
If you would like to interact with us, we are ruinheroespod@gmail.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter account is growing. My kid is helping me. I'm trying to give a few extra hints a week because Rupert will never get a Twitter account. If you really dig us, you can support us at Patreon.com/RuinedHeroes and start getting free stuff for just $1 a month, and it goes up, escalates quickly. So, there's no surprise talking to Rupert about the intro, because as we said, this is take two, so we're doing Disneyland. And I have to do some of that preliminary shit again.
Well, we left off with...
Well, they don't know where we left off.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the problem.
Yeah, but it's so much more fun if we
well,
just...
Well, should have listened closer.
Yeah.
To the shit that got deleted by the dog sitting on the power source.
That was right? The dog, okay? That was.
I know, it's Walter. He's not real bright. He's the sweetest, handsomest, funniest dog ever, and everybody I know smiles when they see him, but... He's useless.
That's because he can't take 10 steps without forgetting where he was going.
It's awesome. It's awesome to see. Like, the dog, literally, he's an English bulldog, so he's never had a full breath of air. He's got a little bit of brain damage.
A little?
And yeah, he'll start going down the back steps to the backyard, and you'll just find him sitting in the middle of the staircase staring.
He'll sit 3 inches in front of the couch staring at it.
At least my dog doesn't tell you where you are. So there, let's not do this. So,
at least my dog knows where you are.
and you. Your dog maybe knows where the listeners are right now. Wait, I just figured out a way to get the metrics going. We'll just hire blue healers and send them out across the planet. Here. And they'll round up all of our listeners. Here's and we'll know that we have 10.
Oh my God, you guys are turning into that guy who's in the park who's really into his dog.
Yeah.
You're turning into that guy.
I've been that guy for a long time.
Yeah,
I'm totally that guy.
We are those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you get a wedding invitation.
We both own purebred dogs. We're that guy.
Don't bump these.
All right. Yeah. All right, Disneyland. So, Walt Disney and his brother Roy... Roy Jamond. Raymond or Roy Jamond, if you were listening back to the stuff that you can't hear. Open the park.
Actually, we should give like a free subscription to somebody who tells us what Roy is short for.
I would a free subscription. It's all free. Well, we're giving everybody a free. Tell you what, yes, if you tell us what Roy is, we will give you a free subscription. What backstage? Like a shout out kind of thing? I will shout out.
Access to all the hidden material, the extra episodes.
The dollar a month thing. I don't know how to turn that on Patreon for without getting. The money has to come from their account in ours.
But there might be a coupon code.
Hmm. There might be, and they did just rebuild the site, made it a little less.
It just
less
seems
funny.
Like Roy should be short for something.
I agree.
We don't know what it is.
It just should.
Or is it really like just something where you're just naming your kid King?
Or Rex. Shot back in the first episode.
It could be for
your name your son Royals.
It could be Royal.
Well, ooh. It could also be the phonetic pronunciation of the French word roi. ROI.
Right.
So it could be that. This is why I get called.
You could be naming your kid
show.
after a Sonic Youth tune.
Huh?
You could be naming your kid
Leroy.
After a Sonic Youth tune.
Leroy.
Oh! But alright, so.
Good one. Could be.
I know.
Also Irish and Gaelic for the meaning of Roy's red. Short form of names.
Oh, that makes sense, especially in Irish and Gaelic. Like Rob Roy. Mm-hmm. So he's Rob with red.
Yep.
What a shitty movie that was.
That wasn't pleasing.
And as Rupert just mentioned, the old French of Roy meaning king. So there you go. Now we don't need to figure out that whole giving something out to Patreon thing.
Yeah. All right, cool. We handled it ourselves.
Okay, so no free subscription anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so
the John Tesh CD may still be available.
John Tesh CD may still be out there.
It actually has Walter's butt prints on it now.
We're gonna have the dog sign it.
He's not been neutered. Just so that you know, when you get the signed John Tesh CD.
And he humps air.
So Walt and Roy opened the park. Walt was the face guy and imagination guy. Roy helped creatively, but was more the book guy. When Walt died, Roy took much of the reins, as well as appointing the longtime trusted employees. First opened in July 1955 to a group of private guests. So the public opening was the next day. We got to discuss the first opening again, because I know we did it before. Let's make sure. Yes, we are still recording.
How hot was it the opening day?
It was crazy hot. It was one of the hottest days in...
It was like Africa hot?
It was like 103 in LA.
Could you smell the asphalt?
Yes, because they had poured it just the day before.
Wow. So what
kept happening with the women's shoes?
What would have happened if women walked in that?
I like this. Maybe we should re-record episodes again. The women's shoes would actually sink into the asphalt because it was not set up yet. And so imagine standing in line to get in the stupid carousel and you're sinking into the ground. This is when you toss your child over the crowd to get in line quicker.
Yeah, child tossing.
Exactly, which we're not going through that one again.
Why not? Fun for all ages.
Oh, geez, no.
There's midget bowling. Why can't there be child tossing?
Oh, my God. There's midget wrestling, too. And
There's always been midget wrestling.
I don't know if
it's
I'm
only interesting
supposed
what they do
to
oil.
Watch it or not, because those people are making money off of it, and they know that they're creating a spectacle. I don't know if it's okay or not. Like, they're not roosters kept in a small pen.
You know what they are? They're all sitting around like witches around a fucking cauldron right now saying, hey, we baked Tyler's brain!
Yeah, maybe.
That's the difference between watching midget wrestling and watching porn.
That's kind of where I'm at. They know that they're getting paid for the job that they're doing, which is admittedly considered degrading by society, but is it okay that... Yeah, I watch porn.
Well,
I watch
actually, midget wrestling. It's more akin to the freak show in the old carnival.
Right. Well, but Jim Rose did a great job of repopularizing that. And then there was a TV show that did the freak show thing. I think that as long as the person involved is aware of the situation they're in and they're making a
reasonable
living.
They're midgets. They're not retarded.
No. How many have you known? I've known three personally.
Okay, we have one that... when I worked up in Portland on St. Paddy's Day, the boss hired him. He dressed up like a leprechaun and ran around the fucking club just wreaking havoc.
He would jump up on beers and shit.
Oh yeah, chugging them. He'd jump up on stage in the middle of a set, do a pole trick and run off.
Totally capricious.
He was just a fucking little Tasmanian devil.
Midgets were my first appearance on television.
Really?
Yeah. I went to this freak show.
You were on Fantasy Island?
No. I am.
Poor bastard. The last
that
half
guy
of his
really
life.
Difficult life.
The last half of his life.
In the mental image of a lot of women's Fantasy Island, I do make a guest star appearance, but no. I actually went to see this freak show that was in a frat house and being televised by National Geographic.
Wow.
And somehow there is a National Geographic special out there on freak shows that has me prominently in it.
My Google search this week is going to be... I've got to see this. All right, so... Other things happened was there was a plumbing strike going on at the time, and...
Were they midget plumbers?
No, they were striking plumbers. And there was only enough time to get either bathrooms or... drinking fountains completed. So
what year was this?
Yeah, come on, this is not for on the air. So
6 years ago,
this is
seven
not okay.
years ago, something like
this
that.
This is not okay.
So it's for the Taboo series.
I'm glad I know how to edit.
I don't know.
Edit.
I've actually never seen
edit.
It myself.
Anyhow, I so
you're just
they
jealous
chose.
I've been on National Geographic.
No, I'm trying to go back to the topic.
Oh, that'd be a first.
No.
Oh, it's okay when you derail us, but when we do it, it's not okay?
No. Yeah.
Jesus.
Do we need to have an intervention?
We are professional derailers,
yeah,
all three
you,
of us.
Yeah, why don't
like,
you check that shit? Black like me.
We'll get there. So anyhow, another thing that was happening was they didn't have enough drinking fountains, but the theory was they could buy Pepsi, not piss in the streets. They ended up running out of Pepsi. They ran out of food. They ran out of all kinds of shit. It was a really not good day. I'm back. Yeah, chicken high heels at Disneyland. Other than Minnie.
Pissing in the street?
No, you lost me at that one.
Oh, I don't know. I'm good with it. It's sort of like this classy, non-classy. It's like this sweet and sour thing.
It's the how dirty can you get thing again.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I know.
You got a chicken high heels pissing on the street in Disneyland? I'm there.
So there was also an issue. There was also an issue of 10,000 counterfeit tickets that were sold, apparently by one source, and I was never able to find if the source was caught or not. But there was apparently one person that counterfeited 10,000 tickets to this private first day opening of Disneyland.
And that was
so not only were they having difficulty with anything else, they were almost a third again the capacity they expected.
But that was actually real counterfeiting back before they had inkjet printers.
Right. Like that person
you
worked
to do
hard
some shit to do that.
Yeah.
That's some mad
Well, and 10,000 of them.
Yeah.
And they had the forethought to think that Disneyland was going to be a big enough thing.
And in 1955, the price of admission was $1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you're talking about the kind of money that this generates, I mean,
what's a buck? A buck back then is what? $10 now? It's still not.
I think
that
it's like six and change. I did look up some of those conversion rates for later.
Crazy.
In a later point, I looked it up.
I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, today's money.
So it's a buck back.
Oh. Okay. Well, okay. Here's where I did that math. Essentially, up until the mid '80s, you would pay a door fee for Disneyland, and then each ride cost money. You'd buy tickets, and they were set in tiers. So the first tier was 30 cents for the lower easy rides, and that would be roughly $2.62 in nowadays money. But nowadays, they just let you in, and you get to go on all the rides.
30 cents is $2.62, so
that's according to the according to the conversion that I found from 1955 to today.
Okay. $1 January of 1955 is the equivalent to $9.17 in May of 2000.
So 30 cents at $2.62.
That's what the CPI is, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
$9 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back then, where you probably have to make
10,000 times. That's $90,000.
But they probably just had a printing press.
Yeah, but you got to make the plate for it.
But you can do this. You got to have the black market in to find out what the tickets look like. You got to have the
some engraver sitting there with the jewelers.
Well, the mob was big then.
What?
Maybe it was the mob.
Maybe you had a lot of out-of-work engravers.
That, or all of the above.
If you had to find an engraver right now, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I called you recently.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Point taken there.
I know where there's a greater engraver sitting to my right. nowadays, you buy one ticket and you get to go on pretty much everything in there. Except for food. You get free water from the fountain still,
but
barely.
Jesus, they screw you on the food.
Yeah, they do. And it's roughly $100 a person to get in.
In 2013, it was $81 between 3 and 9 and 87 at 10.
It's $100 a person to get
roughly.
In.
Roughly. There's a scale. It can be as low as $82, yes, a day.
What, if you're a midget?
And, well, no, it's peak and off-peak
days.
No,
if you're a midget, you still can't ride the rides.
Yeah, like Wednesday in the middle of winter when it's not a school break is $82.
Yeah.
But like summertime, right after most kids get out of school, it's like $130.
Well, yeah, as the quote here says, somewhere the board of directors are wiping their asses with Benjamin Franklin's and blowing their noses with William McKinley's.
And that's partially because, oddly, if you purchase your tickets online, they do not guarantee you entrance to the park on that day. So if you are living somewhere else and taking a family vacation, you better get the fuck up early, go to the gates, and get in and start early so that you will get in before they hit capacity.
Well,
because if they hit capacity on that day,
actually,
online ticket becomes worthless.
What a lot of people
really?
I imagine they reimburse you, but it doesn't allow you in that day.
What people that have vacations do, out-of-towners, they buy the early entry pass. And let you in an hour before the gates open to the general public.
And like when we took my kid down, what we did is we bought the whole Southern California pass, which got us the San Diego Zoo, Legoland, Disneyland, California Adventure.
Yeah, it's fucking conspiracy.
Yeah, all of those. But it's like $250 and you're in all of them or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fucking conspiracy.
I don't know. You should.
But then you're a $15 bag of fries.
You shouldn't be going to those places.
I don't know. What's but the then you have to contend with that.
Yeah, that's the picture I was talking about where I saw easily 600 pounds of people on one mobility scooter.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why.
That's crazy. It's, like, get two mobility scooters, yo. Well, but here's the other thing. Okay, so that person got the mobility scooter, and behind them in line was a man who was 90 years old with his great-grandchildren and a cane or a walker, and that was the last mobility scooter, and that's why that couple only got one, and that's why that old man behind them didn't get one. And that's a thing. They don't have preferential treatment. There's no system of measuring. Like, you have to have an actual disabled card or something like that to get a card. No, you just walk up and you get the fucking mobility scooter.
Yeah.
Huh. And this is true.
Yep.
It's a big deal right now.
Oh, what are you talking about?
All right.
No, you don't.
You are going with your grandfather, pretend he's still alive. He cannot. He can barely walk. You go to Disneyland. You can't take your own mobility scooter in. You have to use one of theirs.
Why not?
Because it's fucking Disneyland and they control the world, man.
Okay, all right. See, to me, it's like if they're banning your personal thing, they got to provide...
Let's search your bags, yo.
But, like, this bullshit where people show up at the grocery store and they can't walk and they take those scooters and run you over...
That's different than Disneyland.
That's different.
That's different than Disneyland.
Because, I mean, I have a very narrow window of acceptability for mobility scooters. And it basically is, if you need one, you should provide one. But if they're not letting you take yours in, okay, all right, I get it.
Okay, so there's a line, and you just get in line.
I don't know why there's system. Not scooter rental places, like, just everywhere.
I don't know.
Everybody seems to need one now.
Apparently. But anyway, I park at the farthest parking place next to the driveway so I can get out quick and not deal with people. Like, once I'm out of the store, I'm all the way to the end of the parking lot. That's where I park.
That's where I park, too.
Besides, nobody parks next to me. It's nice.
Yeah.
So anyway,
worst case scenario is I have to walk half a fucking block.
I know, heaven forbid.
And when I walk out of the grocery store, I have a cart that I can wheel all my shit to.
I know, it's walling this shit. Just fucking phoning your drink on the drone. Anyway, when the monorail opened in 1959, this is the Facebook hint.
Bastards.
Nixon and his family were there to cut the ribbon. There's a fun video that I'll try and remember to post of them trying to do this because they got one of those giant pairs of scissors.
I don't think those are real scissors.
They aren't. And in this case, they definitely weren't because they didn't cut the ribbon. Like, Nixon's daughter is trying, then Nixon tries, then Walt finally just laughs, chuckles, grabs the ribbon, yanks it into two pieces. Like, guys, seriously, you spent how many millions of dollars to build this fucking monorail and you didn't test the scissors for the thing? And
you didn't have a plan.
Well, and they had a dress rehearsal.
They're just held together at Vault Velcro.
They technically had a dress rehearsal because they went in the morning when it was not too hot and to meet the East Coast people's timeline so they could show live. And the Nixon family and the Disney did a photo shoot before and sent that live to the East Coast, and then they did it live again for the West Coast, where they actually snipped it. Like, you wouldn't think in the first one to get a picture of the ribbon falling away to see if the scissors fucking work?
I'd just use some tape.
Right?
That's what I would do.
Break away. Something. Like, it's not that, but, oh.
I don't know, the giant scissors.
It's a very funny video, though. I really enjoyed it because of its campy kind of nature of reality. Like, trying to cut the thing, it won't work. Super funny. So my next fun tidbit, 1964. In the early days of Disneyland, it wasn't all Disneyland controlled. Like, a lot, there were food, they'd rent out spaces, so there were food vendors and people, okay? Yeah. So Frito-Lay had one. It was called Casa de Fritos. Okay, it was basically a Mexican joint. You get nachos and things like that. Well, I guess it wasn't nachos, but tortilla-based early version of American Mexican food. This is where they invented Doritos. Doritos were invented at Disneyland.
Just on the fly?
Yep. They were using up their leftover corn tortillas at the end of the day. They'd come back the next day, they'd season them up, fry them, and start selling them.
Wait a second. So, are you saying that prior to that, there were no triangular chips in Mexican restaurants?
I'm saying that Doritos. There may have been corn chips. May well have been corn chips.
So if I go to a Mexican restaurant and they bring out chips, they're culturally appropriating
from me. Disneyland.
Yeah.
You're not Walt Disney.
Disneyland's Disneyland with Nixon fucking up the ribbon cutting is about as American as you can get.
Right? Except Doritos.
I'm calling cultural appropriation on that.
So Doritos were invented at Disneyland. I thought that was kind of a fun thing that I ran across. It was wacky.
It's exciting.
Right. Some people are very excited, I'm sure, as they're chewing on Doritos listening to this.
I don't think people eat when this is going on.
I think you're right. I think they drive or work like I do. Anyhow, also in 1964, Walt started buying up land in Florida. He was paying about $180 an acre, which is pretty fucking cheap land. In 1966, he publicly announced his plans for his now vast owning, mostly bought under supposed names. He hid all of his purchasing. It was side string companies that was buying it. He'd have somebody else buy a property under his name, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And he bought up all this land so it looked like it was different people buying it all up so he could continue buying it super cheap. When he announced that he was going to build a new Disney attraction there, prices went to over 10 times that price.
Jesus.
In like 3 days, it went from $180 an acre to $1,800 an acre, roughly, and up for all the remaining surrounding
land. So basically, this is the first incarnation of the Whitewater scandal.
Well, he had purchased enough land to be a larger piece of land than Manhattan.
That's not that large.
It's a lot of land.
It's a lot of land.
To own by one person?
Yeah.
This became, eventually, Disney World. But Disneyland is the only one that Walt Disney ever visited. He died shortly after that announcement in 1966. He didn't actually even get to see the groundbreaking. Only one he ever visited was the actual original Disneyland.
So I'm going through some of the... Years ago, I wrote an essay on Disneyland.
You did mention this when you were talking about the topic.
You know, I have a natural dislike for this place anyway. And it's an amazing amount of discomfort one is willing to subject oneself to in the name of fun and excitement.
You've been there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've been there as well, right?
No.
You've not been to Disneyland?
The luxury of... There's a luxury of 100 really? Degree, 100 degree weather.
So far off
my never radar. Never seen Friends, never been to Disneyland.
So far off my radar.
You get weirder.
They don't sell cigarettes there, so he would never go.
Well, you can't smoke there.
Well, you could when I was
actually there. Last you time I was smoke, there, which was
but you couldn't buy any cigarettes.
I want to say almost a decade ago, my kid was like 9, 11, somewhere in there. I could have these. There were these little cornered off corners that had smoking okay signs.
Yeah, like in Enchanted Forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I've been to Coney Island. I went to like one of the there were Busch Beer I think owned amusement parks.
Busch Gardens.
I went to a Busch Gardens.
Busch Gardens is still around. It's not Busch Beer anymore.
I went to one in Atlanta.
Yep.
And that's it.
Really?
That's all I've ever done. Yeah, amusement parks are like totally not my thing because it's like it's just.
Okay, basically, so maybe it's another band camp story, but I went to lots of them because I did parades at them and performed at them and got day passes. I went to lots of music. Like, I've been to California Disney probably 3 or 4 times. I've been to Florida Disney at least twice. Just the way it rolled. And only 2 of those times were California with my mother, once when I was very young, and once when we took my kid because it was a big family grandma-son thing. I agree. The amount of discomfort you're willing to subject yourself to.
It's really uncomfortable. Yeah. It's like you're... Everybody in an amusement park is the kind of people, I think, go on cruise ships. And the only advantage is...
You've got Disney Cruise. And what you've got is a great big gigantic fucking mouse with satellite dishes for ears.
Yeah.
That is...
I don't get it.
They have taught you how to have fun. They have given you the idea that this is what fun is. How many years did we actually have to sit there and after, you know, how many commercials did you see football players walking down that aisle? Where are you going to go? I'm going to Disneyland.
Yeah, I never understood that one.
Money. Money. In 2000, they spent $3 billion on their parks. Just
that wasn't even believable. It's like you got a football player. Football players, even when they start doing those commercials, even back then, were by definition millionaires. And it's like, if you're... do you honestly think that there's a bunch of millionaires going to Disneyland? No!
It doesn't.
Everybody there at Disneyland eats chili out of a can. you know...
okay, you realize you've never been there, right?
I don't have to go to know.
What you have there is a bunch of people that, families for the most part, that have been sucked into this idea that this is the ultimate in family vacation.
Right.
This is what you do.
Right.
You go there, you stand in 100 plus degrees for hours on end. You have to pay $8 for a bottle of fucking water, and you get to feel blessed for having done so.
Right. What part
of that? We will allow you to purchase our water for $8.
I could go through the entire Disneyland park and just grab somebody by the neck and hold them by the neck and put a gun to their head and say, "You name me a fucking abstract expressionist artist from the late 70s, or I'll blow your fucking head off." Everybody would be dead. Not one. No, there'd be nothing. There's nothing.
Bit of irony. The entire architecture in Disneyland is built on abstract architecture. It's done with this particular way. I wrote it down somewhere. I'm not going to look it up right now. But where the bottom floor is real size, the next floor is two-thirds that size. Yep. The next floor is two-thirds that size. It's forced perception, I think, is what they called it.
Forced perspective.
Perspective, yes. And it makes the buildings look bigger. So, ironically, the entirety of the park is built on that kind of art.
That's like, yeah. All
right. So.
Sounds very
representational. You also said that millionaires don't go to Disneyland.
No.
Okay, so in 1966, one of the first big additions to Disneyland was putting in the New Orleans Square. This is where Pirates of the Caribbean is. This is where Haunted Mansion is. This is also where Club 33 is.
Yes.
Club 33, if you don't know, it used to be a big, like, secret thing. There's a whole Reddit of, "I'm a Club 33 member, ask me questions," and, like, there's two or three people that answered questions. I got sucked into that bitch for quite a while. But anyway, essentially, this is a private and monetarily exclusive club. It has a hefty yearly membership reported to be around $10,000. Then there's the $25,000 initiation fee and the extremely 14 to 15 year long waiting list. Dinner is around $150 a person. But
you can buy booze there.
Well, it is one place you can buy booze in Disneyland. There used to be another place apparently where you could get a beer, but it's been kiboshed. But you may run into people that are relatively famous that go there a lot. I read a few, and they seemed kind of inconsequential. But they were, I mean, it's like Dan Aykroyd kind of people. It wasn't him. But that level of people in this restaurant in that you can't go to because you're just fucking lame person with a ticket.
Well, go to fucking New York and see those people. Get a slice of pizza and see those idiots.
Okay, so the cost of a hotel.
It's probably more than New York. How much is it?
When my ex took the girls for the all-inclusive, it was a week that they were there. There was entry to the park every day, the early passes, and one of the girls had a birthday there, she did the birthday party thing. It was $5,000.
That was insanity.
That was a hotel and everything. That was where we were, and we stayed in a hotel off. Then took a tram.
You and your son?
And my mother, yes. We went
as three. All right, so what do you got? What were you in for on that one?
Well, we bought the whole Southern California pass. We did San Diego Zoo, and we rented the car, and we did Legoland.
For $5,000.
But, like, if you're going to do a week, you do three at the Disney parks, and then you do one day at this place, one day at that place, one day at the next place, and then maybe one day to fucking sit around and recover.
And, you know, they actually took facial facial imprints of both the girls.
It wouldn't surprise me.
For what?
Security reasons, bitch.
Yeah.
What, if they get lost?
In case some ride you went in exploded.
Oh.
Well, they do the facial recognition so that in case there's the girls get lost, they're able to track children.
And meanwhile, you're going down a log flume ride catching hepatitis C from the water every time it sprays up in your fucking face. I don't understand these places.
I was there once when I was part of a church group, and we went to Mexico on a mission. And on the way back, we were...
our the partner church we were with was in California, so we went to Disneyland, and it was one of the most excruciating experiences of my life.
Made building mud huts in Mexico look preferable?
We built church pews and dug ditches, okay?
And,
yeah. And I'd have gone back.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah. There you go.
And I remember thinking, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever done, and I'm going to be stuck here all fucking day. You're going to go through three decent rides, if that, and you've got to stand in them. So, I mean, the cost-benefit ratio there.
That's where you buy your fast pass. But the downside of the fast pass is you can only use
I was 15 years old. I don't think they had them then. Okay, this was 28 years ago.
I don't know. Just whenever I see that little scene at the, whatever, Disney, whenever they're showing it and stuff, it's like the Talking Head song, The Big Country, goes through my head. It's like, I wouldn't live there if you paid me.
Yeah. So one of my personal favorite experiences at Disneyland was, it is that weekend at band camp thing, but we were in either Florida or California. My memory says California, I may be incorrect. And
it was hot and uncomfortable.
Yes, but the entire band got entrance to the park. Okay, because we were playing in the park. We played a little parade or whatever, and we did a parade outside the park. Well, that means there's a whole bunch of teenagers running around getting our rides together, which I'm sure really, in fact, as a parent who went, aggravates the fucking parents. Like, I looked at people and went, fuck, that was me. But it does make for a very exciting and fun experience at Disneyland. And what we did was we were in, I think it was the Bear Country log ride thing. But we had figured out that if we put our hands against the cement sides on this water boat ride thing, we could stop the boat. And the water would back up behind us because there was only so much clearance. And we kept doing this and stopping the boat. And eventually we came to a little drop-off thing, and the gate on the other side was empty. There was no water in it. Now, I won't say it was us, but I will say that that gate closed. Our boat stopped. And a Disneyland employee came and got us and walked us through the ever-unseen behind-the-scenes. It's really, really important that guests don't see behind the scenes, the magic, how everything happens in Disneyland. And when a ride breaks, you have to walk out of these things through the employee passageways.
They didn't blindfold you.
Right, right. And so was I. So we got all these, like, six of us in this log ride who are now mum because we think we fucked the ride up. We very well may have. But walking in behind all the robotics and electronics and moving mechanisms and things, walking out of the park, they gave us fast-track passes for that. That were not time limited, so anytime we came back, we would jump to the front of the line and we went back on the ride. We did not stop it a second time.
Right.
But one of my very favorite Disneyland stories was literally fucking a ride up, to the best of our knowledge.
Now, that paper that I wrote was in context with Eula Bliss. She wrote a thing called the pain scale, which is it's subjective pain. You know, yeah. How much is your pain worth as compared to my pain? And one of the final quotes I had in this paper was, the feeling of euphoria one achieves when landing a huge jump or summiting a mountain must be similar to the feeling of anticipation and exhilaration felt when finally going on Space Mountain. It may also be that the pain one experiences from a broken leg may be the same pain one experiences standing at the very back end of the line waiting for Space Mountain 2. At least in the experience of the one feeling that pain.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really, I just don't get it. I don't. I've never understood the drive for it, the need. It's just been, it's so commercialized.
It's a slice of American pie. You got to do it.
For the whole.
Besides, where else are you going to learn how to queue? Not the grocery store, apparently.
Go to Canada. Go to France. Go to England. So you'll get a real experience, and you'll learn how to queue.
So, did you run across about the new 2019 release? There's a large expansion coming to 2019. It is the upcoming Star Wars Land.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, here we go.
I honestly, apparently there's a thing. There's been a lot of the more modern rides are go through the ride, and the way they help you interact as the guest, or the, which is what they like to call you, but I like to call it the park goer, and fuck your Disney terminology. So the park goer gets involved by shooting at things. That's the way the Buzz Lightyear one was when I went. You go through this neat neon dark ride, is what they call it. It's dark, and they show you pictures and stuff, but you shoot at things, and it keeps you interactive. Well, one of the ones coming up is apparently you get to pilot the Millennium Falcon on a on a classified mission, as it were, and flying the Millennium Falcon in any way sounds fucking great to me. Even if I have to stand in a 3-hour Disneyland line, I really like, seriously, that. All right, cheese and all of that aside, I'm totally fucking down.
Where is that? You heard that in the Star Wars one, there's one where they are, they still, if you're standing in line waiting, they end up paging George Lucas.
Yes, and they use his name backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is clever. And it's not the Star Wars one, it's one of the other ones. It's the World of Tomorrow when Star Wars comes up, I believe,
yeah,
right now. But I'm sure they'll incorporate things like that. And they do that, which is kind of neat. Like, there's a couple hundred hidden golden Disney mouse heads throughout Disneyland.
Yeah, and there's entire people.
And there's this whole cult and, like,
yeah,
Reddits of people who have found them and showing pictures and, like, if you're here, look at this. And if you're here, look at that.
Well, I read once, God, this was, I tried looking for it, but I couldn't find it. It was just one of those tangents, rabbit holes that you fall down,
mm-hmm,
through. And this was years ago, and it was that there are actual, like, gangs that walk around inside of Disneyland. They each have their own little jackets and everything, and they're all their own little gangs, and they,
like Crips and Bloods,
kind of. But
like, are they dropping Glocks on each other?
No, they're dropping candy, you know, like candy canes, and you know, they're all happy people.
Oh, there are those kind of people.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Some of the cult of Disneyland.
Yeah, but there's like full on gangs that all have their own little territories and shit. It's like all broken up and just really fucking weird.
So okay, you guys know I'm totally in for weirdo fucking documentary, right? Like, I made you both watch Tickled. Well, there's this
one called, I still feel raped,
Dream Makers. I think it's called Dream Makers. But it's this, like, 5 or 6 very well-known Disney bloggers and stuff. And they do this Why You Love Disney, All Your Attachment and Things, and then they take these people to Disneyland and do a documentary about it, and it's fucking wacky. It's amazing. Like, they start having a Instagram follower competition. Like, look, I'm up to 450, I'm up to 685, I'm up to 795, as they're walking down the street, taking whatever, I don't, maybe it's Twitter, maybe it's Instagram, I don't know, it's one of those fancy things. But yeah, it's an amazing, amazing group of people.
Note to all listeners, anytime Tyler says, it's amazing,
watch it.
Stay the fuck away.
Watch it.
Stay the fuck away.
It's
run
so good.
Walk, go the opposite direction.
Oh,
am I right? Am I wrong?
You're totally right. Don't watch it.
It was easily the best hour and a half of research of this
it's
whole
It's
going
to be really stupid. Don't watch it.
It was incredible.
So, were any mass murderers strangely drawn to Disneyland? It seems like it.
Not that I know of.
It should be something like Disneyland, a favorite of Squeaky Fox.
Right. There's been some not okay touching situations.
I'm not talking about actual incidents. I'm talking about like weird fucked up people who are also huge fans of Disneyland. It seems like there should be that.
Well, in 10 years, when another documentary comes out about some of these Disney people, maybe, I don't know. It does seem like the kind of thing.
It seems like
Ed Gein would be totally into it, kind of deal, right?
It seems like it should attract psychopaths, like trailer parks attract tornadoes.
Right, exactly, and psychopaths.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, go together. Two birds, one stone, exactly. So,
are we talking about the Donald Duck groper?
No, there's been a couple. Most of the ones I was able to find were based on a character in the park.
Yeah.
groping a guest.
Exactly.
And most of those have been tossed out because I don't know if you looked at the hands that those people wear, but even the modern ones with three fingers are extremely sophisticated compared to the ones that they had in the way old days, where literally the elephants just had squared off ends. There was one like, the elephant touched my girl inappropriately. Like, the elephant just had, like, a round piece of dryer hose with a cap on the end. I was like, he didn't. No.
Yeah, and the one now, when they point, they're
only allowed to point with two fingers.
Two fingers
to prevent
whole hand.
Not great things. remind me of the two finger thing later. But the one I did love that I found that was kind of had some grounds for reality was a park goer that did it, and they like ran up and grabbed and really harassingly like fondled Minnie Mouse, like straight to the tits, into the crotch, around the back. Like the whole thing, like this just crazy groping of Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse. And you know, he's some college kid probably with his buddy with a cell phone filming it, right? On a dare that they'd made the night before over beer pong or something. So that one was fun, but most of them had been dismissed on the part of the actual workers at the park. But there was, all right.
Yeah, that was
the middle finger
John
thing.
John
William
Moyer.
Was that what his name was?
Yeah.
So the pointing at the park thing. We've all seen pictures, or if you haven't, you can find them up, or if you've been there, you've seen it. You've seen the old Abe Lincoln robot that stands up and tells stories, and he's one of the very original characters in Disneyland, and he's still in Disneyland, although he's been modified a lot. But one of the neat things is the way that they built the robots to move at that point in time. But while he was in his first day or first couple of days, there was a malfunction in his hand, and all four fingers except for his middle finger closed. And he spent the rest of the act flipping off the audience, which instilled and started the "you are not allowed to point with only one finger" thing.
Okay, I read it a little bit differently, which is in order to be sensitive to all cultures, because in England, yep, you know, two fingers up is a bad thing. So, yep, you know, it's just you have to point with your whole hand or at least two fingers in a specific direction.
Yep. And try not to point at park goers.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all these crazy rules. It's just this whole Disney rules the fucking world thing. Like, they're notorious for not paying their employees well. Mm-hmm. They're notorious for employee mistreatment. Some of the stories about
costuming. Then the employees do awesome things. Like, you hear stories about this kid that he's like freaking handicapped or some damn thing, and he just wants to go to the Star Wars or whatever show it was, and you've got two stormtroopers and Darth Vader leading him across the park, you know, like just saluting him and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, you read things like that, and that's awesome.
Oh, but
the employees there
were a lot of stories there, and I actually knew a guy who went on to work at Disney Parks as a character. And he was that kind of guy. He was smiling all the time, trying mm-hmm. to make the world better for you for the most part. But at the same time, I kind of think some of those have got to be trumped up because there were so many of those. There were so many of those on the internet, like where the park employee did the right thing, that it's kind of like, hey, get the camera crew. At 12:30, this kid's coming through in a mobility chair. You know, and all he really wants to do is go meet Minnie Mouse or whatever.
I think it's Oprah.
I think most of them are probably publicity stunt. But that's not unlike Disney at all, right? That's kind of their job.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
That is
so
exactly
what?
Their job.
Right.
I don't know. Like, people get like very angry at Disney over like these things that are like, so what? I remember people got really angry when like Walt Disney buys all the land in Florida and says he's going to start.
They did. They went nuts.
Then people get, Disney's going to have their own police force. And people were freaking out about that.
Well, that didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
That didn't work out very well. They now have Anaheim or L.A. police on the park grounds at Disneyland. And similarly, Florida police in.
But everybody acted like this was some huge thing. And it was like, you know, come on. I mean, any large institution has their own police force. Most colleges have their own police force. Most amusement parks have their own security.
Yeah.
You know, I was just in a Safeway Friday night in the middle of a robbery. They had their own police force.
Wait, you were in a Safeway during a robbery?
Yeah, it was good.
That's exciting.
It was good. It was classic. It was classic.
That's excitement.
It was classic.
That's exciting.
It was classic girlfriend robbery too.
Really?
You know that thing? All right. So I don't know if my country or suburban brethren will understand this, but when you're in an urban environment or something where you're walking, right? And you're with your girlfriend, and she's like, oh, look at this. And she's looking in the windows, and you're like, I'm looking down the street, and these two guys are going to come and kick Something's coming up. And you start, you try and change your voice and say, like, we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
No, come on, let's look at this.
Pricking of my thumbs, and I look at this way it comes.
I don't know what this is. It's this dynamic that drives me nuts. And it's like, we need to go. And it's like, why? There's nothing going on. And it's like, that's right. And I want to keep nothing going on. Like,
that's why we need to go.
Leaving.
Just to maintain the status of nothing happening.
Dick, now you've got that thing going through my head.
Leaving the air. And there was like, I don't know, there were like 20 kids. They were all high school kids. It was 11:30 at night.
They're very accurate people.
You sure you want that beer too?
Yeah, he does.
Go.
It's light.
Go light yourself.
There's kid beer here too.
On fire. No, so there's like
boss.
There's like 30 high school age kids go running into this Safeway at 11:30 at night. Then like they start running out and they can't figure out what that. And I'm like, do we have to go?
So this wasn't a burglary. This is mass shoplifting.
Right. I was like, do we have to go in?
Oh, totally different. Fucking. Why are we on this track?
Jesus
Fuck you.
Christ.
I thought there was guns involved. Fuck you.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
My club got robbed at gunpoint when I was there.
Right.
I mean, when I was up in Salem, that was actually entertaining.
Well, tell the story then.
So,
Christ, damn near at closing.
I'm
point.
Just trying to spice it up a little bit because, well,
damn near. Okay, well,
just, well I got
it's quick, it's easy. Damn near at closing, somebody walked in and put a gun in my bouncer's face and said, "Give me the till." Says, I don't have any money in it. I just turned it in, pushed the button, opened the till, and then he robbed the lottery and he robbed the.
How did he rob the lottery?
Like, don't you have to tow this shit out of the building?
No, we have a lottery till and we have a regular bar till.
What's a lottery till? I thought it was a machine.
No. We have another till that we use to pay out for our lottery.
Oh, gotcha.
There's a register system that helps track the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So they took both
of
those.
Sense.
And he didn't think to actually come into the office where I was. Thank God, because there was nowhere I could run.
No, it was like,
everybody was still in the bar.
It was a fucking customer.
Out the back door. The bartender out the back door over the 8-foot fence. This is a 5'2" girl.
Wow.
Like,
that's probably the hottest thing that happened at the
pretty,
club that
that's
night.
That's pretty hot.
The fucking weird thing, though, is that the robber went back out the front door and back up that way, and as soon as she landed on the other side of it,
she was in front of him.
She was face to face with him and went, "Oh shit!"
What'd he do?
Kept running.
Oh damn!
Kept running.
Would have been better if he went, "Oh shit!" too.
You know what's the fucked up thing?
Like, if she just done this.
The fucked up thing is...
Like, make a tank girl face.
If you do the separate till for the lottery, and I know why you do it, because you got to remit to the state their
goddamn percentages.
Yeah, you got to
keep the government money every year.
I'll bet every when year. You get robbed of that shit, you still got to pay it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Say it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I don't go to Disneyland, right?
Bring it on, right?
No, I mean, seriously. Seriously. You can't just be like, we got robbed. Here's the police checking us out getting robbed.
Would you bring up Disneyland?
That is just so... I can see it. All right, so maybe we should do the wrap-up.
No,
maybe
no.
We should end this topic. We just have seven minutes left.
Because we have not even touched
maybe
on
we
Disneyland.
Why don't we just jump out of the
topic?
We have not even touched on Disneyland.
I've got one section here that's got a bunch of them.
There was a bunch of them. And the one that I glommed onto, I read another fucking rabbit hole.
But the first that I found that was not the fault, or that was actually the fault of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them prior to that were like, don't stand up in this ride, don't unbuckle your seatbelt, and some moron did that anyhow.
Right.
And that was their fault. Or selfie stick ones. There was a couple selfies. You can't have a selfie stick in Disneyland anymore because they catch on above ride rafters and like smash you in the face and kill folks. Yeah, like that's common at amusement parks now. You can't have a selfie stick anymore.
Shit, killed my one interest.
All right, there goes the Japanese. I'm glad they made their million.
No, they're short.
But anyway, it was in 1988. There was a large metal cleat on a sailing ship Columbia, which is one of those floating around pirate ship things, that broke loose. And what it did is it hit two park goers and one employee in like the upper torso face area.
So they had a shipwreck accident on land?
Well, no, the ship didn't wreck. It was just a weight that counterbalanced part of the sail or something, and it fell down.
Man, you had a nautical mishap. Yeah,
a nautical mishap.
This is the kind of shit Gordon Lightfoot sings about.
It was awesome. And so all three of them went to the hospital, but
the legend
one of the park goers did die. He was head trauma was essentially the problem.
Are you talking about Brandon?
I didn't write his name down.
Brandon Zucker. Okay, in the case of Brandon Zucker...
It does sound like the right name, but I read a lot of them.
Brandon Zucker.
Geez. Yeah.
Right?
It was the Roger Rabbit. Was it the Roger Rabbit ride?
No, this one was the I said it. The sailing ship Columbia ride.
Yeah, there's...
The Roger Rabbit one was his fault.
Oh, yeah. No, this was in 2000. Well, no, he fell in the Roger Rabbit. He was young. He fell down, and he was trapped underneath for nearly 10 minutes, yes, suffering severe brain damage, never walked or talked again.
He died about two years later. I thought it was shorter.
On for 9 more years, finally dying at the age of 13.
What are you talking about?
Disney paid all of his hospital expenses until he died.
He was trapped underneath the ride. It was a roller coaster kind of thing.
There were a handful of, like, severed fingers. I didn't mean to do it that way, but they're like, severed fingers, put your hands outside the ride to maybe stop it using the cement walls and get your fingers smashed and, like, severed.
Six-year-old Priscilla was a bunch of those. Figuera lost most of a finger at Tom Sawyer Island in Disneyland.
Yep.
Luen Fai Dos.
Sawyer Island one was interesting because it was the fake guns on Tom Sawyer Island. Her finger got stuck inside the trigger mechanism somehow. On the gun, and by the time, this is part of the reason real cops are there and real emergency people are there now, is that by the time they'd done the former protocol, which is called Disney people first, and then call real emergency people, by the time the real emergency people got there, her finger was gone and had to be amputated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened, and that's one of the reasons that they have real people not, and the protocol now is 911 first, then Disney people.
Yeah. Seems like you should have Disney people first, because they're used to dealing with these robotic
attacks. Make a smile, you know, and they're gonna
but Disney people would be used to people getting assaulted by appliances, which I think cops have less experience with, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's just
hardware wars.
It seems very
Star Wars coming
in. Specialized a little bit.
2003, a train car on the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster at California's Disneyland derailed.
There was a failed switch.
When a wheel assembly fell off.
Oh, well, that happened.
The top of a tunnel and landed on top of another car,
what's
killing one and injuring 10 others.
No,
almost every
track.
Time I've been to the park, I've ridden that ride twice. I love that ride. And it's going away. It's being, there's building, part of the new Star Wars park is going
and
over
you,
it.
And you live to tell the tale.
At least 4 times.
Wow.
Maybe more.
Wow. These band camp stories are getting more like you're 10, you know, you're 10 years older than me and you're telling stories from fighting Charlie on the Mekong Delta.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it's like. It's like, yeah, I survived.
Wasn't the Mekong Delta. We were in Cambodia and I can't talk about it.
Oh. Yeah, special ops. Yeah. You got.
All right, let's wrap this.
We also haven't brought up Walt Disney's apartment.
Let's wrap this.
Please, let's wrap this up.
We're almost an hour into it.
Come on, it's good stuff left here.
No, it's really not. Wrap it up.
It's okay. We can leave it on the table, man. If they're really interested, they can research and know all about Pirates of the Caribbean and how they used real skeletons. They can do all
and
about
the people that got injured climbing the Matterhorn.
No,
the fact that they have a no-fly zone over Disneyland.
Exactly, they can do all that research themselves.
Okay, there.
Okay?
Thank you for helping cover some of those notes that I just had.
Now,
Pirates of the Caribbean was the most expensive porn movie ever made.
That was butt Pirates of the Caribbean.
I thought we were wrapping this up.
No, they actually made a porn version of Pirates of the Caribbean, and they used all the stuff.
You're surprised?
They used all the stuff from it. It was the most expensive porn. It sucked.
Well, literally.
Yeah.
That's part of the point.
It sucked everything. Yeah. That was the whole point of the movie.
Well, that's the thing with porn, is the more you spend on it, the worse you get.
Except Vivid. Vivid does a good job.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyway,
wrap up, please.
Hey, there's a sponsor.
No!
I'd love to be sponsored by a porn company. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe they invented
a porn company and a liquor company. Maybe we could use your van.
Yeah. Maybe porn companies invented cheese on nachos.
We could start with the Disneyland porn.
Just start wrapping up, please, for Christ's sake.
We'll call it the Mile High Club, Sky Tram Sex.
Okay, here's the deal.
John wants to.
Disneyland sucks. Disneyland sucks.
John wants to pull out.
Pull it out.
Disney sucks.
Pull the shoot cord, man.
I understand the idea behind Disneyland being the end-all be-all of all family vacations, but that's because people have been taught that that's what the end-all be-all of family vacations are. And I don't know about most anybody else, but the idea of being trapped around 80 to 100,000 other people,
God,
in 100-degree plus weather, waiting in line for hours, paying exorbitant prices for really, really bad food, and a bottle of water that you can buy in a case for the equivalent to 60 cents... It's ludicrous, it's stupid, it's insane, and you can do so much better with your family for a hell of a lot cheaper. I'm done. Mic drop. Boom.
Guess we know what John is short for.
Yeah. Well, it's Disneyland, really. What can you expect? There have been some tragedies, some wins, and really a ton of very expensive magic. As I've recounted a number of times during this show, that I have some really fond memories taking my kid there, being there as a teenager, going as a child. I think that it does create some of that Americana-style magic that, for lack of a better word, makes America attractive. It is one of the things that is iconic when you talk to somebody who is worshiping America. So there's the Japanese culture that worships America. They love shit like Disneyland. It's that kind of candy raver, saccharine sweet, wonderful world shit. And although I'm not a huge fan of that stuff, every time I've been to a Disney attraction, I have come away feeling sweaty, poor, and saccharine sweet.
My turn?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I mean, I get Disneyland if you're just of that mindset and you enjoy it. I totally agree with your decision on it. I just don't. I don't have any appreciation for it. It is completely...
You've never been. You got to put that in there. Stop interrupting.
I've been to the same thing. I've been to, like, more of the same. I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, the idea that if you sit down and say, I don't like Iron Maiden, so I'm pretty sure I don't like disrupted cervix, is an invalid opinion. You know, it's like, no, it's an opinion based upon some Diggle knowledge abortions. Of the entire thing. And it's like, I've never had any desire to take my children to it. They've never had any burning desire to go. And if they did, I would correct them. But,
That'd be awesome.
No, it's just not my thing at all. If I went there, I would just, like, walk around looking like a retarded David Byrne. Like, oh, why am I here? Oh, you know, and I can't get it. I just don't get it. It's way too expensive for anything. For the price, I'm in Oregon. I think I'm, like, within 1,000 miles of Disneyland and Anaheim.
Yep.
Right? So it's close, and it would never occur to me to go there on a family vacation. It would never occur to me at all to go there. And it's like, I think I could fly my kids to France and, like, go there, or fly my kids to Italy, Or I'm pretty sure, actually, I could fly my kids to Bhutan and go there.
Bangladesh.
Anywhere in the world for the same or less than Disneyland. And, like, when they get when they come back the next year, they would go to school and they're, where'd you go for a vacation? And be like, oh, we went to Bhutan. Oh, that's so lame. But when they're in their 30s, where'd you go? I went on vacation. My dad didn't like Disneyland. He took me to Bhutan. They'd be like, oh, you're so cool. You're so cool. And that's going to last a lifetime.
I didn't see Mickey Mouse. I saw the Parthenon.
Right. Exactly.
That's fucking...
Exactly.
I still will fight strongly for the fact that there's a little bit of magic. There's a little bit of magic that's created Disneyland. It needs to happen in America. It is part of America. And maybe Americans don't need to go there. But maybe other countries do.
Maybe
we need to maintain it, and that's why Disneyland.
Maybe
Tokyo,
Americans,
and then Disneyland France, and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe Americans
why.
Should all of a sudden start being French, and just like the only people who go to Disneyland are people who want to see America, but no
Americans. Maybe Americans should go to the fucking Louvre, and French people should go to Disneyland, right?
We're now in.